Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Midwest was once the heart and soul of American culture. Let's go in-depth with John Lauck, author of From Warm Center to Ragged Edge, The Erosion of Midwestern Literary and Historical Regionalism. John, what's the Midwest?
The Midwest is the center of the country, north central part of the country, starting in Ohio, reaching out into the Dakotas, Kansas, and Nebraska. And it typically dips down to the Ohio River and about halfway into Missouri. That's the traditional 12 states of the Midwest, and that is my working model for these books on the Midwest.
And so Minnesota, Wisconsin as well?
Correct.
That's my sense of the Midwest. I bet other people, you know, have different definitions of it. Ohio is pushing it a little bit east for me, but I understand why it's considered in the Midwest.
Yeah, Ohio, I think, has to be in the Midwest because that is the first settlements that were organized under the Northwest Territory, the Northwest Ordinance, which set up the Northwest Territory in 1787. People sometimes forget that when the Constitution was being written in Philadelphia at the Continental Congress, which was still meeting, they were debating the fate of the Midwest, and they put together the Northwest Ordinance, and it had a absolutely decisive impact on what the Midwest would be, because it banned slavery and it promoted widespread education and widespread suffrage, and it set up new states for these settlers out in the Midwest. Instead of just extending the control of Virginia and Massachusetts out into this new territory, it set up new states, new self-governing states. And so those settlers, when they got out to the Midwest, were able to organize their own governments and write their own constitutions. This was a very unique development in world history, and the results of the American Revolution made that possible.
For several years now, first with your book, The Lost Region, and now with your new book, From Warm Center to Ragged Edge, you've been saying that for a long time, the Midwest was at the center of pretty much everything politically, literary, regionally, was sort of a driving force for our nation. But then somehow we've managed to slip and now are, by many, considered flyover country and not largely relevant anymore. Is that an accurate characterization?
Well, for many decades, let's say after the Civil War, the Midwest was the pace-setter nation. It was the place where American presidents came from. They came from places like Ohio and Indiana, and of course Iowa too, with Herbert Hoover. And it was the place where American manufacturing took off. It's where the American economy boomed. And it's the place where a great literary tradition once thrived, and where a lot of Nobel Prizes in literature went to authors from the region, and National Book Awards. Chicago was a very active literary center, and even places like Iowa City with the Journal of the Midland and the work of John T. Frederick. But that era, unfortunately, went into eclipse after World War II, and it declined rather precipitously down to the present. And I just think if people have a better sense of that earlier era, when the Midwest was a much stronger force in American life, they'll have a greater interest in studying its history and maybe trying to reassert a little bit more cultural strength by the Midwest. Here's a statistic that may shock some of your listeners, Bob. At the end of the 19th century, Iowa by itself had a larger population than all of the American West. So all these states we think of today, like Idaho and Colorado and California and Oregon, Iowa was bigger than those places. So that gives you a sense of the importance of the Midwest 100 years ago.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with John Lauck, author of From Warm Center to Ragged Edge, The Erosion of Midwestern Literary and Historical Regionalism. But it's not just been a population shift, or has it, that caused us, you know, the reputation and the power of the Midwest to go into decline?
No, I mean, the population shift is part of it, because places like California now have 40 million people plus, and this major culture industry centered around Hollywood and movie production became much more prominent. And a lot of Midwesterners ended up leaving the Midwest and moving to the South, the Sun Belt, and California. A lot of Iowans moved to Southern California, and that's where they had giant Iowa picnics in the 1920s and 30s because all these Iowans had decamped for the coast and began working in the defense industry, et cetera. But there's more to it than that. There was a rather unfortunate and concerted attack on the Midwest by certain intellectuals who thought the Midwest's culture was too prominent, and they sought to weaken it through various forms of criticism. And that's the first chapter in my new book, From Warm Center to Ragged Edge. And then there were forces after World War II that hurt the region, the rise of a anti-regional cosmopolitanism, a tendency to look outward into the world, which again is a very good thing in many ways, but not when it comes at the expense of interior regions. And so I just think it's important to reorient our priorities a little bit culturally and give the Midwest a bit stronger of a voice.
Well, how do we do that?
Well, I think the first step is to know our own history. Unfortunately, we have lost the once robust field of Midwestern history that was very active and led by people at the University of Iowa and at the Iowa Historical Society. They used to be leaders in this old organization called the Mississippi Valley Historical Association. Unfortunately, that organization folded in the 1960s, and it became a national organization, and Midwestern history went into decline. But I think if we can revive the field, which we've been trying to do, as you know, through the Midwestern History Association, formed in 2014, I think we can teach more and more people about the history of their region and why their roots are important and what went on in their region 100 years ago that they don't know about. I was just in Michigan last week, gave some talks about this book, and there were some folks who came up to me after my talks and said, I had no idea this went on back in the day. I didn't know that Michigan and Iowa and Wisconsin were very active hotbeds of literary activity back in the day. But they were. And I just think if we can open people's eyes to that history, I think they'll be more interested in bolstering Midwestern regional thinking.
Well, and that's what you're trying to do in your book, From Warm Center to Ragged Edge, subtitled The Erosion of Midwestern Literary and Historical Regionalism, 1920 to 1965.
Right, and I hope this will cause more and more people to dig into their own local stories in places like Iowa. Iowa has a very rich history of literary production. There are people like Ruth Succo, for example, a great writer from Iowa in the teens and 20s, who's been largely forgotten, and she deserves to have a voice again. And John T. Frederick, who grew up on a farm in Iowa. He went off to the University of Iowa to go to school, and he thought, you know, I don't want to be like some of these other ambitious writer friends I have who immediately run off to New York or California. I want to stay here in Iowa. I want to write about Iowans. I want to develop a literary culture in Iowa. And he did that. And he helped a number of writers get going in Iowa through his journal, The Midland. And Jay Sigmund is another example of this up in Cedar Rapids. Jay Sigmund was a farm kid who went to work at the local insurance company and made his way up through the ranks of the insurance company. But all the while, he was very active in writing, particularly poetry about the Wapsipinicon Valley and growing up there. And he came to know other regionalists like Grant Wood, et cetera. And they were a very impressive cadre of creative talent in Iowa. And unfortunately, we've forgotten them. And it's time that we take another look at that. And I think that includes more work by our state universities, including the University of Iowa, which I think it would be great for all of Iowa if they put more emphasis on Midwestern history. It used to be a hotbed for this kind of research, but it's kind of declined in recent decades.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with John Lauck, author of From Warm Center to Ragged Edge, The Erosion of Midwestern Literary and Historical Regionalism. Well, as you were going through those list of Iowa authors who came to mind immediately for me that I thought has been neglected was the mid-20th century author, poet James Hurst. You know, I think he overlapped with both Carl Sandburg and Robert Frost. His poetry, I think, is, I don't know, much richer. I guess I'm biased, but I just think that it's superb. And in my opinion, I think he's a better poet than both of them.
Right. And I don't disagree. And he was part of a very active contingent around Cedar Rapids and Linn County and that part of Iowa. And those are the kinds of cells of creative activity that we want to promote and foster. And we want to teach our kids, you know, you don't have to flee from quote-unquote flyover country. You don't have to become part of the brain drain and leave the region. You can set up your own sorts of literary activities and literary cadres in the state of Iowa. When you were talking about Hurst, I thought what you were going to say, Bob, is that you were remembering William Shire. But I was just talking about William Shire the other day, who he grew up in Iowa. He went to Coe College, and you know, he went off to become a world traveler and a writer and a reporter. And probably lots of people don't know this, but this amazing book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, that came out, I guess, in the 60s, that was William Shire, an Iowa boy who always remembered his roots. So these are the kinds of authors I want people to remember.
Well, yeah, I remember reading that, I think, in high school. It was an amazing book.
It was, and he deserves to be remembered. And thinking of that group of people, there is also Paul Engle, who some of your listeners may remember, was an Iowan who helped start, or I guess actually started, what would become the Iowa Writers Workshop in Iowa City. Now, when that started, that was very much a regionalist enterprise in which there was time and space set aside for people to write and think about Iowa and the Midwest in general. And I think the Writers Workshop has become much more international and national now, which is great. That speaks to its success, and I think that's a fine thing. But we also want to keep those regional voices active in the program. And, you know, we want our institutions that taxpayers are funding to remember the region that they're a part of and the state that they're a part of.
Well, it also means that we need to read the work of local authors. I don't know where I first heard this, but I like it. It's read local.
Right. Absolutely. That captures the sentiment of the old regionalism very well. And I think it's to Iowa's credit that so much of its history, say prior to 1960, involved the promotion of regionalist arts and regionalist writers. And I live very close to Sioux City, Iowa, and there's a couple of very prominent writers and poets from Sioux City that also deserve to be remembered. One of which became the mayor of Sioux City, Iowa, for a while he was writing his novels.
Wow. Well, where can people find your book?
Easiest way to find the book is Amazon, where they have a great supply ready for you to order. Also, if you call the University of Iowa Press, they also can send out copies.
Well, what's next for you, John?
What's next for me? Well, this book will officially be launched on June 25th in Columbus, Ohio, at the bookshop in Germantown, which is a neighborhood of Columbus, Ohio. And after that, I would like to speak to some other groups in the Midwest and some other states, including places like Prairie Lights and Iowa City and whatever the best venue is in Des Moines. And then after that, I hope to settle down this fall and do a little bit more writing on a broader, more long-range history of the Midwest, which it's rather frightening to admit this, but there never has been a comprehensive history of the Midwest written. So I may take on that challenge. We'll see.
Thanks to John Lauck for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.